job, brother. Good to have you back with us. We missed you last week, most of you anyway. Thank you for being here and being back. Hope you had a good Memorial Day, and especially remember the folks that have given their lives for the freedoms that we have. Amen? We don't want to ever get caught up into a situation where Memorial Day is all just about a three-day weekend. Take your Bibles and be turning to Philippians chapter 1, is where we're going to start at today. We're talking about my life journey. Life is called a lot of things, and today we're going to emphasize about it being a journey. And I'm one of those kind of people that I like to evaluate my life, and I do that regularly on a day-to-day basis and try to figure out where I'm at in different things. I think setting goals and things like that are very good, and it's something that keeps us on track, keeps us on line, keeps us making sure we're kind of staying in the same direction that God would have us to go. And so as you look at those things, we have to come to the conclusion or ask a question, as you see there in the opening, where are you standing in your journey right now? Where are you standing in your life right now? Where are you at? It's a self-examination question is what it is. And so you begin to ask yourself that and say, you know, a lot of people don't think about it. They just get up every day and go to work or do what they want to do, and they really don't think about where they're at in life and what's going on in their life. And that's a very unhealthy way to live, because you'll get very distracted, and you'll find out that you won't accomplish a whole lot of things if you don't keep goals and keep focused on the things that God's called you to. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things, and I'm going to break it down into a very simplistic outline. And I've been reading through the book of, the Old Testament, and I've been reading through the book of Exodus and things like that, and it lays it out in such a simple way, and that's why I wanted to do this. We just got out of our series with Ruth. If you went through Ruth and you didn't get to hear the last message, then you need to go online and find it and listen to it. It kind of sums up why Ruth is really in the Bible, is what I think, and so it kind of ties it all together. And so I knew I kind of didn't realize it was going to be on Memorial Day weekend, the last message, but I wish you would do that. If you like that series of Ruth and you need to tie it all together, then go to the last week's message and listen to it online, and it'll kind of put it all together and why it's so important. But today, you look in Philippians chapter 1 there in verse 6, it says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a promise that God gives us. It's something that we cling to a lot of times, because it's something that we lose direction. We're living in a fog sometimes, and we have to go back and realize that God has a plan for our lives, and we're to be focused and be looking at that. And He's made us a promise here to complete those things. And then also in Psalms in chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain heart of wisdom." And what that means is life in this world is not really that long. You don't realize that until you get a little older and you look back in life and realize how fast it's gone by and how quickly it is. Most of you will realize that when you begin to have children, and you begin to see how quickly they go through school, and all of a sudden you're walking and they're walking down a graduation line somewhere and you can't hardly believe it. They're driving a car or something like that. And then after that, it even kind of kicks in a little bit quicker. And so life is not really long. 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years is not that long. And we think it is sometimes, but it's really not when we base it on eternity. And that's how we're going to look at life. We're looking at life from an eternal standpoint is how we need to be looking at life, okay? And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, and we're talking about life, and it's something that's important. Life is based on our times and our talents and the treasures that we have, Lord, and all the things that you've given us to carry on in this world. And God, help us never forget that you have a calling on our lives. God, we're not here by mistake, and we're not like we are by mistake, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose to carry out our lives, and we're on a mission. And so today we look at life as somewhat of a journey. And so, God, we're wanting to evaluate where we're at in our lives and where we're at on this journey. It has different cycles. It has different places that we go. And God, help us to realize that you're there with us through each of these things. And there, you have a plan and a purpose, and none of it's caught you by surprise. And help us realize that. And so, God, what it does when we truly understand this and we truly live like this, it helps us get through the difficult times of life. It helps us to make sense of life when it seems not to make any sense at all. And so, God, help us learn this truth here. It's something that's very valuable, and it will change the way that we do life if we'll focus on you and the reason you have us here, Lord. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, instill it in us that we might live to be better people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. Well, the Bible, like I said, the Bible calls life a lot of different things. It talks about life being a battle. It talks about life being a race. It talks about life being a school. But today we're focusing on life as a journey. And so what we need to understand is that a lot of the illustrations in the Bible, a lot of things we read in the Bible has a story. They have a storyline to them. It teaches us a lot. It teaches us a method or teaches us a way to walk through life. And so what I'm doing is I'm picking up Israel's march through the desert or their wilderness here and to the promised land, because it lays out so much of how we live life and how we can place ourselves in different situations in life. And so I believe it can help us break down life and make it easy to understand. And not only easy to understand, but realize that in every aspect of our life, in every place in our lives, we have to understand how important it is. And so where is my life? That's what we're going to talk about today. The first thing is, and you'll be familiar with this if you understand the trot of the Israelites and how they were taken out of Egypt. The first thing is in my Egypt. And what is Egypt? Egypt is a place of bondage, and all of us start in this place of bondage. And this is how you find yourself in bondage. It's living in this world, and it's living for this world. The Bible tells us that we have to live in this world, but we're not to live for this world. And so when you're in bondage, you have to understand is that your whole focus is where you're at right now and what's going on in your life right now. And so we call that Egypt, is what we're calling that. And so God wants us to do what? He wants us to be delivered from that. And he's given us a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what? To take us out of that bondage of life. And what causes us to be in that sense of that place of bondage? It comes from sin. Sin causes us to be in bondage. See, the things that people think free them the most is really what binds them the most. You see it all the time. I mean, people live different kinds of lifestyles, and they think that they have the freedom to do that, and they remind us of that all the time. But what we're trying to do, if we're trying to forewarn you, or trying to forewarn people, is it has a price tag. It has a bondage. It comes with a price, and you have to understand that. And so many people put themselves in that place, and so many people try to play God in their own lives. And what we have to understand is Jesus Christ is what I'm calling our spiritual Moses here, and he's come to deliver us out of the darkness and out of the bondage by doing what? By showing us his love and his grace and showing us how it's a whole lot better on the other side. Many of us have the same testimony. We were caught in some kind of a darkness. We were caught in some kind of a sin in life, and we had a price tag and had tragedy and things like that. And some of us still have the scars of those things. And what we have to understand is that we're brought out of that. God brings us out of that. We visit through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it breaks the sins of bondage. It helps us to realize what true freedom really is. You know, a lot of the songs that we sing, a lot of the scriptures that we read, it talks about a certain freedom. See, what the world's philosophy is the more closer to Christ you are, the closer to God you are, the more in bondage you are. But what really is the closer to God you are, the more freedom that you have. You have pride. And so, yes, we have guardrails because God does what? He does it to protect us. Anything that we have in life, we do protection. If we are children, we have rules and we have regulations in our homes. We have rules because why? Because we love them. We care for them. And then as we grow more and more mature, then those are shed off, and then we have more and more freedom. And so we find that in Christ. And the closer we are with Christ, we begin to shed those bondage, and we begin to be more and more out of the things of Egypt. And so we have to understand that. And so we have to look at ourselves and look at that. And so this world has a way of holding on to us. And this life is about what? This life is not what matters most. It's a part of it. It's important, but it's not what matters most. And so many people focus themselves on there. And so many people, they live in Egypt. They stay in Egypt. They stay in the bondage because they get satisfied. I was talking to someone, a couple here not long ago. It's been probably a year or two ago. And they were an older couple, and they'd been through a lot of difficulty in their lives, and especially in their marriage and things like that. And they had moved apart. They wasn't sleeping in the same bed anymore. They had separate TVs and didn't do anything. Had separate vehicles, and mostly what they were doing, they were just living, single, really, in the same home. And so as I began to talk about it and everything, the man, he came back and we talked one day, and he told me, he says, "Well, that's just how it is with us. It's just become normal for us." And so what happens is even sin, even even a relationship like can desensitize you to the point of where you think there's nothing wrong with that anymore. And that's what sin does. But see, what they were missing, and what I tried to make them understand, what they were missing was they were missing what marriage, the best part of marriage is. It's having a best friend. It's being close to each other. It's having time together and someone to come home to and spend time and things like that. And their relationship didn't look anything like that. And why? And they thought it was okay. They thought it was normal. Because why? Because they had drifted away from each other over the years. And any of us can do that. And not only in our marriages, we can do that with our families. We can do that with the church. We can do that with even God. And all of a sudden, living in sin becomes comfortable. It becomes normal. Because why? We've desensitized ourselves to what really truth is. And really what freedom really is in life. And so a lot of people do what? They grow comfortable living in Egypt. Well, the second thing is, as we see, as we understand the trial of the Israelites and how they went through this, the second thing is we get into a place of my wilderness. And so a lot of us find ourselves in the wilderness. We're saved. We're brought out of Egypt. And then all of a sudden, something happens in life, and we get thrown back into the wilderness. And that's a place of trials and tribulations and difficulties in our lives. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 5, it says this. It says, this verse probably, why I put this in here, it probably teaches us something about tribulation and trials as much as anything else does. Listen to what it says here. You ought to turn to this, and you ought to do some underlining here. It says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on an oath to your forefathers. Now, he's talking about he's going back to Genesis there. And then he goes here, and here it starts here. He says what? At verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. And so there was a purpose for that. And a lot of times when we're going through difficulties, we need to understand that there's some kind of a purpose for that. And then he goes on here in verse 3 and he says this. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then fed you with manna, which neither you or your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Now think about that for 40 years. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so your God disciplines you. And so he's laying out here, he's saying, even in the wilderness, you can call it a wilderness, I call it desert time sometimes in our life, it's a difficult time. It's, why do we have problems? Why do we have difficulties? It seemed like even when we're living for the Lord, even though we're dedicating ourselves, that there's still problems and difficulties. In my family, your family, we have these things. And so it's easy for us to ask, why? Why am I having these things? Well, here is the answer. Jane was asking that this morning during prayer time. Why do these things happen? It's there to teach us. It's there to mature us. It's there to get us ready and help us to move on in life. Listen to what he says. Here's some things you can underline. It says, lessons from the wilderness. I wrote these down this morning. It says, to remember. To remember who? To remember God. So we become self so dependent on ourselves that all of a sudden we think that we're doing it. We're living life. Well, let me tell you what. I like to remind you of this, that every time you breathe a breath, it's a gift of God. Amen? Every time you blink your eyes, every time you get up out of that chair, every time you are able to do something, it's a gift of God. And we quickly forget that. And trials bring us back to where it reminds us how important God is to us and how dependable, there's that word, dependable, that we are on God. See, the world's philosophy is this. As we grow older and mature, we become less dependent on other people and other things. But when it comes to the Christian life, what God teaches us as we mature in our Christian, our spiritual life, we find ourselves more doing what? More dependable on God. Because we understand he's all we have. We need him for everything, even the breath that we breathe. And so he's teaching us those lessons through life. And some people learn them young, and some people learn them old. If you don't learn them, you know what God does? He keeps bringing you back around to them. Because why? Because there's a reason for them. There's a purpose for them, and we have to understand. Listen to what he says. He says, what? Lessons from the wilderness. He wants us to remember the Lord. He wants to humble us. There's a word that most people don't like. Most people want to be prideful and boast about themselves, but he wants us to humble ourselves. It says he wants to teach us. And what does he want to teach us? He wants to teach us to trust him. I told you, one of the two things that I dislike about my life more than anything else is this, is when I'm in a hurry and when I'm worried. Because what I'm doing is telling God, you didn't give me enough time, and you can't handle it, God. And so I have found myself, when I'm in a hurry, when I'm in a worry, I just kind of slow down and take a deep breath and say, God, I can trust you. I'm going to trust you in this, okay? Even though this is difficult, I don't understand this, I'm going to trust you in this. And over the last several years, it really bothers me when I put myself in a hurry, I put myself in a worry, and it makes me understand the truth of that is, God, I think I can't trust you. I can trust God. I mean, has God failed me? I mean, I've had difficulties like everybody else, but God's not failed me. He can come through, and we have to understand that. And we learn those lessons, the places of trials. And testing does what? It matures us. And James 1, in verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. Now, you probably don't have that on your mirror anywhere, right? Because it's like, but he's saying, but why? Trials have a purpose. They have a reason, and we need to understand that. And so when you're going through difficulties in life, you need to understand. You need to be saying, you know, you need to be asking, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me here? Because God's going to do that there. And that's where we learn the most, is when our feet are in the fire. But he says there in verse 3, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That means it stretches you. It makes you stretch out more. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, what our life is all made up of is comfort. We're wanting comfortable. So when we have trials, it's always, all I'm trying to do is get through it for I can get back to where I enjoy life at. But you have to understand, you need to learn to enjoy life even in the difficult times. Because why? It's teaching you something. You know more about yourself, and you'll know more about God. And more than any other time is when you're going through the difficulties of life and you're going through the trials of life. And you find very quickly how much you think you can trust God or how much you are trusting God. We call it sanctification. And what that big long word means is it's being conformed to the image of Christ. And so each of us ought to look more like Jesus next year at this time than we did this year. Because of why? We're becoming more what? We're being sanctified. We're becoming more and more like Christ, and we're letting him work in our lives, and we're finding the things in us that we're conforming us to the person of Jesus Christ. And so the wilderness refines us. It prepares us. And during that time, don't be surprised when God feels far away. It's like my prayers are not, I don't think my prayers are getting to making it to heaven. You know, I don't feel God's presence in my life. And even those things, and what does God do through those things? We can't base our spiritual lives on feelings. We can't base our spiritual lives on emotions. And so even during those dry times, those wilderness times in our lives, God's still there. And we can still trust him. And he's still working, and he's still got a plan and a purpose for our lives. And we have to understand that. I didn't write this in your outline, but it's something you might want to fill in, because this is some good stuff here too. Here's some reasons here for the wilderness. Let me lay these out for you. Here's some reasons. First thing is, first time God will put you in the wilderness when there's a sense of unbelief or rebellion. God will put you in the wilderness when there's a sense. And so the first thing you need to do when you get in a wilderness situation is there sin in my life? Now, listen, we go into wilderness, not every time we go into wilderness is because of sin, but the first time when you're going through a wilderness experience in your life, a difficult time, a trial, the first thing you need to do is ask God, are you trying to show me something here? Is there something wrong with my life here? Am I living in sin, okay? And you need to ask yourself that. So that's the first reason. Then the second reason is God's waiting for a better time. When you've got something, you're longing for something, you're looking for something, and God's not bringing that through, and you keep praying about those things, what you have to understand, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. See, what we have that the Israelites didn't have, and what we have that even the New Testament Christians didn't have, for the most part, is that we have the Bible. And so what we do, we get to read the story, and then when we get to the end, we think, oh, I see why God did that. Well, see, we're living out a story, and so we can't see it yet. But what we have to understand, what the Bible does is the Bible helps us to see a couple of things. First of all, that God hadn't forgot about them. Next thing is that God had a purpose and a plan for those things. And after that, that it was going to work out for God's glory is what it was going to work out, and for their good is what it was going to work out for. So what we have to do is we read these stories and we understand it. What? I don't understand why this is happening to me in my life. But I realize what? God, you're here, okay? You know, you care, and you're able. Those are three things you better understand before you can ever really experience a joy-filled life, is that God always knows where you're at and what you're going through. God cares about those things, and God is able to deliver you or to help you get through those things. It might not be immediate, but God is in those things, and you need to work it out. And even though you don't understand it, and we do that many times, the first question we ask is why? God doesn't always answer that question to us, but we have to do it based on what the Bible tells us and all the things that we can see and learn through the Bible. We need to realize this is God's got a part in this, and he's got a hand in these things. Some things he allows and some things he causes, but we know that God's still there and a part of those things. And sometimes it's just not the right time. Think about Moses and the struggles that he went through. Talk about Jesus, 30 years, and all he had was 3 years of ministry. Think about Abraham and 100 years old and all the times. And it's like, God, where are you at? What are you doing? But see, what we should do through these stories is that we should learn that God's never in a hurry, but he's always what? He's always on time. That is a lesson you better learn in life. And you'll need to know that when you go through your wilderness experiences. And then the third thing there is this, is that God knows I'm not ready yet. There's certain things that you're just not ready for. You're not spiritually mature, and God's planning, and He's working and getting to that point in your life. It's just like a 10-year-old saying he wants a car for his birthday. You say no, not because you don't love him, because you do, because he's not ready yet, or he wants a shotgun or something like that. Because why? You know that they're not ready for that yet. But what you have to understand is this. God doesn't leave us there. God doesn't leave us in our Egypts. God doesn't leave us in our wilderness experience. God's doing what? He's got a plan. He's waiting on those things, and we need to understand that. And so the third thing of this is as I see my Canaan. And so they were headed to my promised land is what we call it. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says this. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. When you get into your wilderness experience, the first thing the Israelites started doing, they started reminiscing about the things of Egypt. They started thinking about those things. Because why? Because they were going through difficult times. And you need to realize this. It doesn't matter if you're in Egypt, if you're in the wilderness, or you're in Canaan, okay? It doesn't matter. You're still going to have difficult times. There's still going to be problems. And a lot of times what happens is when you go through that experience, you look back and all you can think about is the good old days. They wasn't that good when you were there, but they're better than what you think you're having now. Because why? Your memory's gone cold, okay? And so a lot of times you start longing to go back to those things. And so what we have to understand is our inheritance where God wants us to be is to give us our what? He wants to give us his best. He wants his best to be given to us. Now, for some people say Canaan is heaven, okay? And that's ultimately where utopia is going to be. That's going to be our heaven. We're longing for that. And that's that eternal view that we have and longing for those things. And we know that our best is yet to come. And we know that there's going to be better when we get to heaven. We understand that. But today, as I'm talking about journey life right now, you can use Canaan as an experience there too. And how I define that, and this is my version, how I define that, the Canaan that we're living in today is that when we're in true fellowship with God, is that when we have that intimate relationship with Him, and He is, as we sing this more, He is our all in all. He is my everything. Now see, for some of you out there, you start saying, well, you know, He's not everything. You know, well, let me tell you what, He is when you're in the wilderness. He is when you're going through the trials and tribulations of life. He's the one that you need. He's the one that's going to be there for you, and we have to understand that. And so when we get into our Canaan, what we understand is it's when we're walking with fellowship with God. You know, God mentioned a few folks in the Bible. It says God walked with them. I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, I think it's only three. God walked with them. That's something big to say. Somebody say that in the Bible about somebody. And we know that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, didn't He? And he had a relationship with them. He had fellowship with them. He walked with them. Then we know Enoch. We know that God walked with him. And then we know Noah, that he walked with God. And so that's what that is. It's talking about a relationship. It's talking about a fellowship to where is it where he's who we think about. And he's the center of our lives. He's the very purpose that we have life and a breath. And we owe it to him, and we honor him with those things. And so when I'm talking about Canaan here this morning, I'm not talking about a place on a map, okay? I'm not talking about a certain location. I'm talking about an attitude and an action in our lives to where He is our all in all, and He is who we are longing for. And what He wants us to do with our lives, that's what we want more than anything else. That's what Canaan is. We sing about it all the time, and normally it talks about heaven. They say it talks about heaven and things like that. But we can have a Canaan right here in this world, and how you get to that point is that you do what? You mature. And that maturity is showing you a more dependence on Christ. It's showing that you long for Him. You look forward to that time you spend with Him. You look forward for what He's got for you. See, life can be so exciting when you know that you can trust God. Do you understand that? You know, I mean, when I get up every morning, the first thing I want to do every morning is remind myself that I'm not in control. God is, and God's got this. I don't know what's going to happen when I step my foot out on the floor. I might break a leg. I don't know, but I know that God knows, and I can trust Him through those things. And life is a whole lot more enjoyable. You know, the Bible says He gives us joy, and joy is something on the inside, regardless of the circumstances, and we'll see that in just a minute. But what we have to understand is our joy comes when we can really trust God. And I have certain scriptures that I have written on my wall, and I have written in a Bible and things like that, that when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling depressed, when I'm feeling discouraged, I can go to those scriptures and listen. You know what it's like? It's like drinking a cool glass of water on a hot day. You know what I mean? If you've ever been replenished like that, you've ever been refreshed like that, man, you're hot and you walk in and just get a good cold glass of water and take a drink and you think, man, I think I can go on. Let me see, the Bible can do the same thing. Amen? I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about. And it was discouraging. And so I encourage you to write scriptures down and have them in different places as you're going through difficult times in life. And let it bring you back to your Canaan, where it's what? Where you're back into fellowship with God and you feel that closeness and you feel that love that he has for you. And he's the very center of our lives. And his purpose is for his purpose is my purpose and his plan is my plan. And we understand that. And so that's how I see that. I see in life, and that's what we're talking about here this morning, where are you at in life? Are you in Egypt and you're in bondage? For some of you, you're still in your sins. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're still in your sins. Some of you are, you're doing what? You're fighting that, and you think there's more freedom in Egypt than there is the promised land. Well, the thing is you've never experienced the promised land. So how do you know what you're doing? You're trading the good things of life, and some of them are, for the best things of life, okay? And a lot of people, that's where they get comfortable there, and they don't want to go anywhere else, okay? For some of you today, you're in your wilderness. You're having some trials and some tribulations, whether it be financially or maybe in a relationship or health or something like that. You're going through a struggle in life. Well, you need to be asking God, what are you trying to show me? How are you trying to? And what it should be doing, it should be maturing you. It should be helping you trust God more. It's what it should be doing. And it might take time for that, okay? Because when you're going through it, it's like, oh, yeah, Brother Nathan, if you was experiencing what I'm experiencing, you wouldn't say that. Yes, I would. Because why? Because when you get ready, where you're getting ready for your wilderness is when things are going good. And that's why you continue to come to church and continue to read the Bible, because you know that what? The wilderness is going to come. The storm's going to come in life. And then for some folks here, you're in your Canaan. You're in fellowship with God. You have that closeness with God, and you long for him, and he is the center of your life, and everything you do revolves around him, and you're constantly asking God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? You know, how do you want me to help this person or that situation in life? And that's where you at. Now, so how do you get to that point? That's the last part of the message here is the second part. What brings me to these different points of my life? Let me tell you never stay one place. You're always moving. It might be different times, but you're moving from place to place, place to place, place to place. And what determines that? It's where we're looking. It's where we're looking at. And it's where our focus is, or where our focus is on life. And your focus in life will change. It will change with age. It will change in your situation. Some of you that have kids right now, if they're real small, especially if you have a baby, your whole focus just about is on that baby, because everything it needs, you've got to provide for it, okay? And then your focus is when they get a little bit teenagers. I mean, that's when your hair starts turning gray and everything, you know, and starts falling out and things, because your focus is because just get them home at night safely. And then on and on and on. Then you have grandkids, and that's kind of utopia. Well, I got through the kids, and well, now I got grandkids. They were worth it, okay? And that's what they tell me anyway. I ain't got there yet, but you know, that's what they say. And so it's all about your focus. And so you're different places in life, and that's what we're doing. We're doing a self-evaluation. We're saying, you know, where am I at in life? Where am I at on this journey? And what determines that? Well, I believe it's our focus. And so here's a few things. Very simple. The first thing is where I'm looking at. I can look back. If you ever read the story about the Israelites, they did what? Every time they met an obstacle, they looked back and said, you know, Moses, I mean, man, how many times did they tell Moses, you brought us out here to die? Brought us out here to die. Brought us out here to die. I mean, they kept saying that, you know. But think about, if you read the story, think about what they had in Egypt. I mean, they were slaves. They were forced labor. They were forced to work. If you go to Egypt today, a lot of the things were built over there. They were part of building it, because why? They were forced labor, okay? And they didn't have it that good, okay? But every time they met a trial, they kept looking back and they think, well, you know, at least we had something to eat. Yeah, it was hard, but at least we had this. And so a lot of people, that's what they do with their life. They keep looking back and they begin to glorify the sin of their lives. They glorify the Egypts of their life. And so We can soon forget the bondage of the past when we get into hard times in the presence. And every part of our journey will do what? We'll have problems. I don't care if you're in your Egypt. I don't care if you're in your wilderness. I don't care if you're in your Canaan. You know what I mean? You're going to have difficulties in life. Life is part of that. We're living in a sin-cursed world, and we're living in a cursed world. And you need to understand that there's going to be difficulty in life all through your life. You're never going to get past that in life, and you need to understand that. I was in Kentucky this weekend, and my aunt's there, and she's 86, and my uncle there, and he's 84. And you know, and it's so, you sit here and listen to them, and it's like, well, I just don't feel like I did. You know, I don't have any get up and go and things like that. And we got out one day, and I helped him hang a barn door, a real barn door, you know, and his mind wasn't clear. He was doing something, you know, and finally he was fixing to do something that was going to tear it all to pieces. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bet you what you're fixing to do is wrong. And he looked, because he was fixing to tear it. I mean, this is a huge barn door, and he was fixing to tear it all to pieces, and I seen it coming, and he wasn't listening to me. I mean, you know, he's early stage of Alzheimer's, and it's this very difficult situation. So I'm trying to help him here. I said, I'll tell you what, if you, what you do, don't tear it up, I'll buy you a steak, and if you tear it up, you buy me one. He says, he just looked at me, and he says, oh, well, that right? I said, yeah. He says, you really don't think this is going to work, do you? And I said, no, sir, I really don't. I said, you see that right there? I said, it is fixed to cut that. And I said, you're fixed to tear this barn door all two pieces is what you're fixed to do. And he says, well, what do you think? Then he asked me, he said, I mean, I had to say something that said, you know, and then he said, well, what do you think? And I give him a reason, and we got it up there. It was hard, but we got it up there. But what I'm saying is, and then he finally, after we backed away, and he said, well, you know, I just don't think as clear as I used to. And I'm thinking, you sure don't, you know. You sure don't, you know. But that's hard to tell somebody that's 80-something years old that, you know, because he thinks that he still is, and you know, and things like that. And so you have to understand it. We have to realize that even when we get older, a lot of times we don't see the difficulty around us like other people do. And especially it's harder for older people to see that. But every part of our journey is going to have problems, even when we get to the older part of our life. You know, everything hurts and bends and breaks and now it begins to crack, and we have to understand that. The next thing is what happens is not only looking back, we begin to look around. And that's what the Israelites were constantly, they were looking around. And what does that bring? It usually brings complaining and the circumstances of life. And they said, what? There's no water. And God did what? Gave them water. He said there was no food, and what did God do? He gave them food, and he did it in a miraculous way because he was doing what? Remember, through these difficult times, what's God trying to do? He's saying, you can do what? You can trust me. You can trust me. So can you imagine walking out on the ground one day and seeing this stuff fall out of the ground, kind of look like frosted flakes? That's my picture of it, okay? And kind of, you know, that's how I've got it pictured, you know, and the big tiger saying, you got it, or you're great. But that's kind of, and so walking out there picking up frosted flakes, you know, and then all of a sudden doves coming in, you know, and all of a sudden, I mean, you just walk around and pick up a dove and pluck a dove and eat it. I mean, not a dove, but a quail. And so, I mean, can you imagine that? And so what was God doing? He was saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. And he's saying the same thing to us. And so if we look around circumstances of life, it does what? It makes us complain. And we start longing for better times and trying to get past those things. And we start looking back and saying, Egypt had its advantages, but it what? But it's not the promised land. It's not the best. And so many times we settle for the good and miss God's best. The third thing is I begin to look within. And that's the thing of the world today. Look within, you know. And all they wanted is what? They wanted to be happy and they wanted to be comfortable. And God had a plan for them, see. And what that comes from is selfishness. And it's easy to grow selfish. It's like life is all about me. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. But listen, you're put here for a reason. You're on this earth. This is God's world. This is God's earth. And he's God and we're not. And my whole reason for breathing should be say, God, what do you want out of my life? And the more selfish you get, the more in bondage you become. And most people don't think that, see. There's a lot of people doing what? They're living in bondage because they're so selfish with their lives. And how do you evaluate that? What are you doing for God? I mean, listen, coming to church, we worship God, we honor him, but this is as much about it. We get as much out of that as he does, okay? Because one, it's restoring us, it's refining us, it's encouraging us. And so ask yourself, and I do this, what did I do for this today for God? What did I do this week for God? And ask myself, am I really living a life that glorifies and honors the Lord? And we need to ask that. And on a daily basis, and am I just beginning to coast through life? Listen, you know how you begin to coast? I'm around Christian people all the time. And when I get around somebody and all they talk about is what they used to do, let me tell you what, brother, you're coasting. People are still dying, going to hell. This world is still in a mess, and we need to be actively doing it now, not talk about what we did last year or last week or 10 years ago. Amen? And that's true for a church. It's true for a denomination, but it's also true for us as individuals. And we begin to coast in life, and it's easy to do. It's easy to do because of your circumstances in life. And what happens is the quick and easy does what? It robs us of the best thing. And that's the story. That's the lesson we learn about the man that built his house on the sand. Oh, he did it quick and he did it fast, but it didn't last long. And a lot of people build their lives like that. And then the fourth thing is this. Some people, and hopefully us, we look up. We look up. And that's the man that's done what? They're willing to pay a price to please God. And what I'm calling this is it's a walking with God is what it is. And it's a situation trusting him. And so what we have to understand, we got some problems back here. Oh, my little finger is messed up again, okay. It's a place of walking with God. And when we're looking up, we're saying, God, I trust you. I can trust you. And so it doesn't matter where I'm at, if I'm in my Egypt, if I'm in my Canaan, or if I'm in my wilderness. What I do is I really see God. I'm focusing on God in those experiences and trying to learn what God's teaching me and what God's doing in my life. And so God's desire is to do what? For us to grow up in our character. That's maturity. That's the purpose of sanctification, to grow us to be more mature and be more like the person of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm saying today is don't stay in your Egypts. Egypt brings bondage. Some of you are living in an Egypt. You've got these pet sins that you keep falling into. For some of you, it might be alcohol or drugs. For some of you, it might be in a relationship. It might be in something. And you know they're not what God wants for you. But you have some kind of sense of satisfaction. See, sin satisfies, but what it does, it only satisfies for a season. But realize there's going to be a price tag. There's going to be a price tag for that one day. And so come up out of your Egypt and in your wilderness, learn from God. What God does is he reminds us of what sin does. And in our wilderness, as we go through the difficulties of time, of trials and tribulations, what happens is we're learning to trust God and put him first in our lives. And it brings us to our Canaans in life. And when we get there, we just need to take a deep breath and say, thank you for being here, God. Because I'm not going to always stay here, but I know I'm here now. And just enjoy that sweet time of fellowship with God and how close he is to you. And it's like you long for him more and more. See, I love the Lord more today than I ever have in my life. Amen? Can you say that? I mean, I do. I love the Lord today as much or more than I ever have in my life. And I don't always feel that way, but, you know, my sense of staying in the Word and staying faithful and being able to trust him more, really, it allows me to go through some things in life that I look back and think, you know, I couldn't have experienced that 10 years ago and said that. I couldn't have experienced it 5 years ago and said that. But now I did, because I'm just going to trust you, God. I'm just going to trust you. Because why? You learn that you can trust him. Amen. That's what maturity is all about. You learn that you can trust him. And what does that bring? It brings about the best part of life, is trusting him, knowing that he's there, knowing he knows, and knowing that he cares, and knowing he's able to bring us through the most difficulties of life. And listen, that's for everybody's life. I read this in one of my commentaries this week, and I thought it was good. Some of you have heard of a person named J.P. Morgan. It's a big financial institute, and it was named after a guy. And although they've done a lot of things wrong since he's been gone, but at one time, this is the man that started. It says this. It says when J.P. Morgan, the multimillionaire, died, it was found that he had considered about 10,000 words. His will consisted of 10,000 words and 37 articles. He was giving away his stuff. Okay, it says he had made many transactions, some involving large sums of money. I mean, wouldn't you like to get a call on the telephone and say, "Hey, J.P. left you in his will." Okay, I'll be right there. Okay, and so you can imagine everybody sitting around. It says, but we are left in no doubt as to what he considered the most important transaction. And here's what it said in the bottom of his will, after everything was given out and everybody was smiling and some people were mad and some people were glad, okay? Some people were feeling left out. Here's what he said, and he wrote this to his children. He says, I commit my soul into the hands of my Savior in full confidence that having been redeemed and washed in his precious, most precious blood, it says he will present it faultless before the Heavenly Father, and I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard and at all costs of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of the complete atonement for sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, once offered and through that alone. And he put that, he said, this is the most important thing that I can leave you, my children, is that my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If J.P. Morgan can say that, and he's a multimillionaire, and I mean a lot of people got a lot of things, but the most important thing he left them was, he said, it's his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing that we have to, too. Now, how do we do that? We keep looking up. We keep looking up. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, especially if we have children, the most difficult, we all go through difficulties in life. They've got to learn this, what? I can trust him. When they see you worry, when they see you in a hurry, when they see you fretting, what you're always saying is that, God, I can't trust you. Yes, you can trust him. And when we go through the difficulties of life, one of the things that I do when my kids get into trouble or get into problems or difficulties, and they do just like everybody else, is one thing I'll ask them, have you prayed about it? Are you praying about it? You know, well, let me tell you what, God's going to see us through this. God knew this was coming. He's going to see us through this. We'll get through this. We're going to be okay. Might be difficult, might be trying, but when we get to the other side, we're going to look back and see God, 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 God. Amen? That's the most important thing you can leave your children. It's the most important thing we can leave anybody around us, that we truly have a faith and a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let's look at this. Where are you looking at today? See, where you're looking at today is that's where you're focused at, and that determines where you're at in life today. And then the lesson to learn today is this, is life is my story. So you have a story, and we look at the Bible, and we get to read through the Bible, and we see the end of the story, and we think, well, why didn't the Israelites, why didn't they trust God more? I mean, they went through the Red Sea. They saw the water. They saw the manna. But listen, when you're sitting out there after two or three days and you didn't have anything to drink, more than likely you're not thinking about the lemonade you had yesterday. You're thinking about what you don't have today. And quickly you can move into complaining and griping and complaining about those things. And we do the same thing. But life is our story. And just now, like, we can look back and say, well, why didn't they trust God more? We need to be asking ourselves the same thing. Why can't we trust God more? We can trust God to get us through the things of life. And the application today is this, is God wants to be a part of your life. So you can exclude God out of your life if you want to. You know, we're going through a series right now and on Wednesday nights, and I encourage you to come. It's very, very good. I really think about what I put out on Wednesday nights in the summer series. It's a DVD series, and it's Ravi Zachariah, and he's a great apologist, and he goes around these universities and all these kids asking questions, and he's answering the skeptics is what it's called. And so, and what he's saying here, you know, one of the things he was talking about last week was, does man need God? Well, physically, you can make it without God. You think you can anyway. You can get up and walk out of here and say, I don't need God, and you can live your life. You can make money, and you can die. You can do the same thing. And so, but when it says intellectually, you can't live without God, because everything in our life, we're asking, why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? That's the questions of life. And see, the only way you can answer the questions of life is look at the Bible, because philosophy doesn't have those things, see? Science can't give you all the answers, but God can. The Bible can. He can give you the answers of why we're here and, you know, where do we come from and where we're going. All those things. And that's what man. That's a longing for man. It's a quest for man for those things. And that's where our joy comes from. When we can get up each day with a confidence and say, hey, I know why I'm here. You know, I've got a purpose in life, and I know where I'm going when I leave here. I know those things. And so when you have that kind of a life, you have more of assurance than anyone else. And that's what gives you the joy inside of you. And that should be something we're not only for ourselves, but we should be passing it down to other people around us too, that we have that confidence in God. And so look at it. Ask yourself, where are you at in life, and where are you going in life? Because it's the most important question you're going to ask. For some of you, it should be salvation. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Most important thing you'll ever do in your life. You know, I was watching a newscast the other day, and they were talking about that. It was talking about how they were evaluating jobs and how important things are. How different professions, how important, and how much people need them is what they were doing. And guess what? Didn't even come up, pastor. Didn't even get on the radar. Let me tell you what. If I thought I could do anything more important with my life than tell people about Jesus Christ, I believe I'd be pursuing that. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, your life and my life too, the most important thing you'll ever do with anybody else is tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it won't only be for this life, it'll be for all, for eternity, and we need to understand it. That's how important it really is. That's how important life is, and we need to realize that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you today, dear God, as we think about where we're at in our lives, and God, what you have done with our lives and what you're going to do with what you're going to be doing in our lives. And all of life is your preparation to move us to the next stage and the next place of it in life. And help us understand that. God, whatever we're going through and experiencing right now in life, you have either caused it or you allowed it. And it has a purpose and it has a plan for it. And we should be asking you why. What's the test? What are we going through? Why are we? What are you trying to teach us in this that makes us to be more like you, that we might be more usable by you, Lord? Help us understand that. Life is not all about us. It's about you. And God, and what you have for our lives and where you want us to be in life and what you want to do with our lives. And as we view life from that area, we view life with that idea, then God, it makes life so much easier, God. And God, help us to understand that as Christians, that we might leave here, Lord, with a sense of satisfaction that, God, you know, you care, and you're able to do whatever you want to with our lives. And we just lay it out here and say we surrender. And that's what salvation is. That's what commitment is. That's what staying in fellowship is. It's just saying, getting up every day and say, God, I surrender. Here I am. I surrender my time. I surrender my talents. I surrender my treasures. Everything I have, Lord, it's all yours, and you do with me what you want me to do. That's where that true Canaan experience comes from, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that before. You've never reached your Cana today. Maybe for you it's salvation. For some of you, maybe it's coming back to the Lord, that you know that you've gone back and you're in the wilderness, or you kind of keep going back into Egypt and putting yourself back into that, and you need to come and recommit your life to Christ. But whatever your need is, you come today. Amen? Let's all stand.